Well then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, like I just said, the basis of the sermon series that I'd like to do in Advent is based off of this hymn. I'm always trying to figure out, every time we come into one of these holy seasons, of what I'm going to do. Because you want to have the right and the good teachings, but you don't want it to be the same thing every time, so that it just becomes routine and you just kind of, you can fall asleep through the sermon and not really miss anything. I don't want anybody sleeping on me. I want to keep it spiced up and lively, right? And for some reason, as I was thinking about what to do for Advent, this hymn was stuck in my head. And I don't know if it was a spirit thing or if we had sung it the weekend before, or honestly, it's one of my favorite hymns, if not my favorite hymn, because it's a powerful, beautiful hymn. But as it was stuck in my head, and I thought, all right, what's going on with this? So I opened up the hymnal and I looked at it, and look at how well these verses fit with the season of Advent. So I want you to grab out your hymnals from the backs of your pews. Hymn number 578. We're especially going to look at that first verse of that hymn. 578. Thy strong word did cleave the darkness, at thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee whose light dost send. Alleluia, 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 without end. When we look at light and creation, we jump immediately to the beginning of our Bibles and we see the creation, which in and of itself is an extremely hotly debated topic, right? Was it actually a whole week? Were each of those days 24-hour periods, or were they actually longer? Did God set things in motion so that evolution would work? These are things that people are continually wondering and questioning as we look at things like creation. But our role is not to get into a debate, but rather to just fall on God's word. And as we saw in our first reading, in the beginning, God created. At the very start of it all, God is creating, and he is saying, let there be light, and boom, there is light. This is what we need to focus on today, is that God speaks, and it happens. And not only does God speak and it happens, but things are even declared good. And it's not good like we might declare it, like that was a good meal, or you know, talking to our dog, you're a good boy, right? This is God's version of good, which is perfect. As God has declared at the very beginning, everything is good. Everything is perfect. But at this creation, one of the first things created is light. And in this creation of light, there now needs to be a separation of light and darkness. You know, so often we look at darkness and we think evil, right? You might still feel a little offset by being in the dark. If you remember as a kid and you had to go up the stairs from the basement, I remember I was a little terrified of the dark, definitely terrified of the stairs in the basement. You had to flip the switch and bolt up the stairs so that whatever was hiding in the darkness wouldn't get you. And it seems ridiculous, but I'm pretty sure that every single one of us has had that feeling. It's so unsettling being in the dark. But here at the beginning, even the darkness is good. It is the partner to the light. They work with one another. And after the creation of light, after the creation of everything else, we also and especially focus on the creation of mankind. And what's wonderful is, again, all is declared very good. All is in perfect harmony. But yet there is something walking among and scheming around all of this light and all this darkness, all this creation, among all these good things. And behind it all is this temptation to be separated from God, to decide what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. This is the temptation that mankind faces, and it's simply too great of a temptation. And they seize the opportunity to be separated from God. for them to know what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. And because of this desire to separate themselves, to do things on their own, there is now a curse. This curse is placed upon the people, and this sin is also there. This evil is now corrupting us. Darkness, which was partner to the light, which was good along with the light, is now a place where we hide, where we go and we hide our evils and our sins. But God is the creator, and he is still the master of this all. And at the beginning, when he speaks, creation forms. And so what we can see there is that his words have unbelievable power. And at the beginning of John's gospel, John kind of plays with the wording a little bit, but really draws our attention to focus on Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That seems strange to phrase it like that, right? But really, think about your words. They are you. They are a reflection of who you are. That you and your words are inseparable. They are a glimpse into your mind. Even if you're a liar, they still show who you are. We see so many people nowadays where one little word will get drug up and they will just be, you know, cast aside. You cannot be removed from your words. They are who you are. And this word that John speaks of at the beginning of this gospel is not only God, but also the embodiment of God, because this word becomes flesh. It is a wonderful new thing. God speaks. Jesus is formed. This word made flesh, as we read in John 1, is the light of mankind. What's interesting is the original good, light, and darkness were separated from one another, but now this light of Christ comes to shine in the darkness. And for created light, we thank thee, as we sing in this first verse of this hymn. But yet it wasn't always so, was it? When we're looking at our gospel lesson, this true light, which enlightens everyone, comes into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, but they didn't know him. He came to his own people, and they did not receive him, because the darkness had truly blinded. Jesus comes into the world to shine his light. We must all remember that the order of things in Scripture, that this is first to the Jews and then to the rest of the world. They were the people to receive this promise. They were the ones who were supposed to bear this promise to all of creation, but they didn't. And they didn't just poorly carry the promise into the world. They completely forgot it. They left it behind. They no longer relied upon a God who promises and fulfills promises, a God who creates, a God who blesses, a God who is full of grace. They relied on themselves. They relied on their own works. But it doesn't prevent God from doing his work. It doesn't prevent God from fulfilling his promises, because we still see Jesus comes to us. The Word has become flesh and dwells among us. Now here's your interesting little tidbit of the day, is that the word used here is not only just to dwell, to hang around, to be with, but it's the same sort of idea as the tabernacle. So the word becomes flesh and tabernacles with us. And while that might sound strange to you, I want you to remember all the way back to Exodus. The children of Israel leave Egypt, they get to God's holy mountain, they receive the law and the instructions for the tabernacle. And this tent, this temporary tent, was to be set up as a place where God and man could meet, where they could dwell together. The problem is that we had to go through all these hoops to be there. We couldn't dwell with God because of our impurity and our imperfections, as we see in books like Leviticus. But when I am teaching this to my confirmation students, I always want them to remember that the tabernacle is also called the tent of meeting. And so these are all the ideas that John is trying to get you to form in your head as you come and you read this lesson, that the Word of God has become flesh and is now in the embodiment in the same way that God was embodied before the children of Israel. He is physically present and there. But now there is no longer this barrier between God and man. There are no longer these things that we have to do in order to enter into the most holy place, because now this Word is among us, surrounding us, shining that light with us. In Jesus, God meets man one-on-one. And in this meeting of God and man, we see God's fullness, and it shines so wonderfully for all people to see. And as we sung, we have received grace, or not as we sung, but as we read in John, we have received grace upon grace. Because I always want to emphasize this, God does not do things idly. He has great purpose behind everything that he does. And this light that shines in the darkness, this light that is Jesus, he shines into this world of darkness, revealing God's love to the world through his teaching, through his healing, through simply his very presence, as you remember the woman who simply touches his robe and is healed. This Word made flesh is the light of men, and in him is life. And in a twist on what we would expect, we see him give up his life. We see him allowed to have his light snuffed out, if you will, to have his light extinguished. And it leaves us wondering, well, what are we going to do now that the light has gone out? But yet John's words are still so true, that in him is life, meaning that not even death can end that life. Death cannot take him. His light shines out of the tomb. The Word made flesh still lives. Death and darkness have not overcome him. And for this we sing Alleluia. 5 Alleluias in this hymn today. Well, I guess it would be 10 because we sang 2 verses, right? Alleluia, in case another one. Here's your little tidbit. You're getting so much today. Man, all for free, right? Alleluia is this beautiful Hebrew word which means praise the Lord. Halal, to praise, and Yah, God. Praise God. Praise God, and so we do, because God has not only spoken life into existence, has not only provided us with every little bit that we need, but when all we do is fail, there's nothing but grace. There's nothing but love. And for all of us who have suffered from our own brokenness and our sins, we are moved to great joy, to praise and thank God, that when mankind fails, God speaks his promise and keeps it. And that when we fail to even hold on to those promises and bring it into the world, God speaks that word becomes flesh, and that word takes on our failures and leaves us only with grace. And all those times that we ourselves have dwelt in darkness, God shines his light upon us. He pulls us out of the darkness. He makes it so that we cannot hide in the darkness anymore. And he doesn't illuminate us to show our mistakes, so that all might see all the wrongs that we have done, so that we sit there embarrassed and ashamed. But we are then illuminated by his grace. And for that we praise God. We don't only praise God with our songs and our souls, but also with our hands and our feet. We lift up our voices. We praise. We thank God with solid hearts, full of God's grace. I love hearing this church sing the hymns that they know so well, because you can hear which hymns people like the best when people simply just belt it out of sheer joy for what they get to sing. But we also must remember that the grace and the light that we have received, also we praise God with this, with our hands and our feet, as we go out and lift up our hands in love and service toward other people, As Paul has said in his letters, with the readiness of the gospel on our feet, because it is through us, through our song, our praise, our service, us actually going to people, that the light of God truly shines through the world. God's strong word, this word that was made flesh, which cleaved the darkness for you and for me, which has set us free. This word has brought us out of darkness, out of sin, out of death, and into light, and into the life of the Lord. And from here on out, we can thank the Lord, we can praise the Lord. It's not like the season of Advent where we put our alleluias away. It is the season of Lent where we put our alleluias away. The season of Advent is a time where we surely belt them out for all to hear. Because we know we don't deserve this salvation, but we thank and praise God for the grace upon grace that He has given to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.